step out of the Board of Regents meeting this morning in order to hold this availability. So with that, I will begin recording and allow President Rothman to begin.
Very good, Mark. Thank you and good morning, everyone. We appreciate your being with us today. As you know, the Assembly Speaker has very publicly held up UW legislative priorities and pay plan increases for University of Wisconsin employees over concerns raised both within his caucus and by constituents. Today's agreement reflects what we believe to be in the best interests of the Universities of Wisconsin and all Wisconsinites to find a path forward on the issue the Speaker has raised in a way that enables all of our universities to better serve students and the public under the current circumstances. We thank Governor Evers for his support through these challenges, as well as many legislators on both sides of the aisle who have expressed their support. I will recommend this agreement to the Board of Regents at a meeting that will occur tomorrow. And that resolution, recommend the resolution that has been posted publicly for approval. I remain hopeful that the board will approve the resolution, and I also remain hopeful that the full legislature will also approve the actions that are required of them pursuant to this agreement. There are several points that the Speaker had raised in our conversations with him that reflected issues that he was concerned about, one being restructuring and realigning positions dealing with diversity, equity, and inclusion, capping overall non-faculty positions in the Universities of Wisconsin for a three-year period with some additional exceptions for student-facing and research positions. Three, guaranteeing admission to top high school students, high school graduates in Wisconsin. 5%, the top 5% for UW-Madison and the top 10% for our other institutions. And for some other issues that are set forth more specifically in the resolution that will be going to the regents for consideration tomorrow. As part of the agreement, the legislature would act on the following: approval of the pay plan no later than December 31, 2023 for all UW employees. Approval of the $32 million workforce proposal to add additional capacity in four high demand fields, including engineering, nursing and healthcare, business and finance, and computer and data science. Three, approve a new engineering building for Madison. Four, provide up to $45.4 million in funding to allow us to demolish some facilities that are no longer needed or are no longer habitable across the university system. Five, approve utility projects as set forth in our original budget request. Six, approve the Winther Heidi Hall renovation at Whitewater, which was a project specifically that the Speaker wanted to have added to the list for enumeration. Seven, approve the renovation of three dorms at UW-Madison, which are in need of that renovation. And then finally, approve the Assembly Bill 140 that relates to the allocation of funds under the reciprocity agreement where Minnesota students are coming into Wisconsin. And it would really provide that the tuition dollars that are earned by our universities actually go back to those universities. The agreement we reached is a result of an arduous process. While it funds the priorities of the Universities of Wisconsin, we also have made compromises to get to this agreement. We have agreed to restructure approximately 43 DE&I positions, while also not increasing the aggregate number of jobs in DEI for 3 years across all of our universities. What is important to note in this is no one is losing their job. Rather, those positions are being reimagined into an area where they are focused predominantly on student success. As we have made clear publicly throughout this process, our commitment to DE&I remains. Diversity and inclusion are core values of our universities, but we are also open to changing how some of those positions can more directly benefit student retention and graduation. And as I mentioned, as part of the agreement, we would be realigning one-third of the current positions, which is approximately 43 positions to be realigned over the course of two academic years from DEI service roles into roles focused more broadly on student success. We also agreed to predominantly an overall freeze on administrative positions. We are well underway as we speak today about actively addressing structural deficits at a number of our universities while still preserving faculty positions that are essential to the educational experience. So we are making those reductions already, but this would simply put a cap on our administrative positions moving forward. Guaranteeing admission to our Wisconsin top high school students at our universities is not something we object to either, so long as it is done correctly. As part of the agreement, we have freed up over $800 million in new projects, initiatives, and inflationary pay increases for our employees. This funding is essential if we are going to help build a vibrant future for all of Wisconsin. Our mission is to be here for all Wisconsinites. Our mission is developing the talent we need to prosper economically, as well as provide students with a high quality education that they both deserve and their parents expect. Being a partner with the legislature helps us achieve that mission because we cannot do it alone. Our universities rank 42nd out of 50 states in the nation in public funding for the university system. We will continue to advocate for our state to do better. We have made compromises on management issues because we can better serve the interests of our state with the projects and initiatives that will be funded under this agreement. This agreement can hopefully reset our relationship with the legislature so that we can work together to focus on what is best for the state of Wisconsin. I have been grateful for Chancellor Mnookin's support throughout this process. She has been an extraordinary partner as we have worked with the speaker and others to push this agreement forward. And it's my pleasure now to introduce Chancellor Mnookin, who will make a few comments. Chancellor.
Thank you. Thanks so much. Thanks for this opportunity to talk to all of you. It's certainly critical for the universities of Wisconsin and UW-Madison in particular to resolve these issues and to be able to move forward with our mission, our incredibly important missions, the work of serving our students, the work of giving students a transformative educational opportunity, the work of doing extraordinary research and serving our state. I'm grateful for my partnership with President Rothman and for the regents and the members of the legislature who've participated in these conversations. And we're hopeful that the various elements of this agreement will be supported by the Board of Regents, by the full legislature, and Governor Evers. There's no question this has been a difficult process, and we recognize the stress and strain it's caused in our communities over the last 6 months as it's played out partly in public. We talk a lot about bridging divides and the importance of doing that. This is a compromise that I think does exactly that. And I want to be clear that it's also a compromise that allows us to hold on to our core values, which include a commitment to diversity, inclusivity, belonging, and excellence. These commitments are and must be as strong as ever for our students and for our employees. And I understand we still have work to do in these areas, especially for our underrepresented minority students and for other students who also say that they feel an inadequate sense of belonging on our campus. We're going to have to continue to work on that, and we will. This isn't getting rid of DEI, nor is it completely business as usual. We've agreed to partly reimagine how we go about our work to emphasize student success, which already, of course, is an incredibly important priority. And I also want to emphasize what President Rothman already said: nobody will lose their job if this goes forward. On the capital side, this agreement lets us move forward at Madison with our much needed engineering building so that we can grow the number of engineering students we can serve and so that we can support our world-class research. It also funds much needed residence hall repairs and a variety of infrastructure investments that our world-class research university requires. These are things that we need to serve our students and to serve the state. These have been challenging times, but I do think, on balance, we have reached a compromise that represents a commitment to higher education in the state and a recognition of the role that UW-Madison and the Universities of Wisconsin play in helping to move Wisconsin forward. And for those reasons, I do support this resolution.
Thank you. Before we get to questions, I'd ask that folks who are asking questions just introduce themselves and the media they work for, and I will call on folks and we'll get to as many as we can. Kate Morton.
Hey, yeah, Kate Morton with WISP Politics. I just wanted to ask you, have you gotten a handshake agreement from Robin Voss, basically guaranteeing that he will follow the stipulations in this deal?
We have gotten concurrence on the terms of the agreement with the speaker and the obligations of the UW system, the Universities of Wisconsin, are contingent upon the legislature acting in the manner as set forth in the agreement. So we believe that we've got an agreement on paper that reflects a consensus between the speaker and the Universities of Wisconsin, and we're going to move forward on that basis to seek approval from the entire legislature, and then to the extent necessary on bills that have to be enacted to fulfill the agreement execution into law by Governor Evers.
Liam Knox.
Hi, Liam Knox for Inside Higher Ed. Thanks for taking the time to answer questions. I had initially heard some reports about an initial deal including the elimination of the UW TOP program for faculty diversity hiring, as well as the creation of a new position that Voss wanted to be funded by philanthropic donations. Can you tell me anything about whether that is included in this new deal? Oh, as well as the elimination of a diversity statement on student applications. Are any of those three included in this deal?
They are certainly set forth in the resolution that will be going before the regents, and which is a public document that you can get access to. But allow me to have the chancellor just respond to the items that are specific to the campus at Madison.
Sure. Two of the things you suggested are specific to me. One actually isn't. The Targeted Opportunity Program, I have agreed that we will make the last year of that program. That was always intended to be a temporary program. We will replace it with a new program that looks at parts of our hiring, focusing on faculty members who have demonstrated commitment and expertise in supporting underrepresented students. So we will be eliminating one program, but replacing it with another that is different, but that is also focused on serving our students, especially from underrepresented groups. On the admissions part, that really goes back to Jay. On the faculty chair, I have agreed that I will go and seek fundraising to support the creation of a chair in one of a variety of areas that could be classical economic thought, it could be conservative political thought. And if I were to receive that funding, we will move forward with that chair under our ordinary processes. As I'm sure you're well aware, we have a variety of chairs across our campus in a whole lot of areas, and this would be another one.
Sarah Maslar.
Good morning, Sarah Maslar-Donar, WKOW Capital City Sunday host. I wanted to ask, how much was the campus community, the system community involved in these discussions, or was it just on the kind of higher end, you know, regent, president, chancellor level? So I guess, what's the temperature of the system community, the faculty, staff, and students on these decisions?
Good morning, Sarah. We reached out to a number of people, as you can imagine, as we went through that process. Certainly the regents were continually briefed. We had a lot of input and a lot of discussion with the chancellors as well. And we also reached out in various ways to leadership in shared governance, as well as solicited views of others as part of this process. The negotiations and discussions themselves included both the chancellor and me. But we had a broad range of input and guidance as we went through this process.
Todd Richmond.
Yeah, Todd Richmond from the Associated Press. Two-part question. I assume Governor Evers would have to sign off on any legislative action, correct? And do you feel that Voss held you hostage? I mean, this is a really unusual way to do business here with striking deals, with passage of bills and passages of other initiatives in return for this and that. I mean, is this log rolling, essentially?
And let me respond to your first question. Any legislation would require the governor's signature, and we have certainly kept the governor's office apprised of where we are at. And assuming the legislation is passed, we are hopeful that the governor would sign it into law, but obviously that would be a decision that he would make at another date. Regarding the process itself, I just viewed it as we wanted to find an agreement that was in the best interests of the universities of Wisconsin under the circumstances with which we were presented. And that is what I believe we have done.
AJ.
Hello, everyone. AJ Bayapur, CBS 58 in Milwaukee. Appreciate you guys taking the time to do this morning. Another two-part question. One, the UW system statement as of Wednesday was that an agreement was not, quote, imminent. Between now and then, what changed? And two, can you confirm that there will be, as part of this agreement, a mandatory course on something along the lines of divisive topics? And if so, what exactly would that include?
As it relates to, you know, where we were on Wednesday, AJ, and where we are today, there was progress made in our conversations with the speaker, and we were able to reach an agreement. I don't think there's anything more I can say on that front. In terms of the agreement itself, there is nothing relative to a course on divisive topics that is in the agreement. And I'd encourage you to take a look at the proposed resolution that's available on the board's website.
Rich Kramer.
Rich Kramer, Wisconsin Public Radio. Thanks for doing this. So what's to prevent this from happening every budget cycle? There's some people that are critical already of the regents and the system for even considering, an agreement that was, you know, based on a withholding of pay raises that were pre-approved by the same lawmakers that held them up. So is this something that the UW system is, or I should say the University of Wisconsin, are worried about happening on the regular?
You know, I think, Rich, as we look at it, you know, we're pleased that we were able to reach an agreement on these issues. And it is our intent to continue to build a relationship with the legislature so that we can have productive discussions as we go through the process and find ways that we can invest in our universities to the betterment of the state.
Liam Barron.
Hi, Liam Barron with the Daily Cardinal. The UW system has been facing some criticism from Democratic leadership, particularly in the Black Democratic Caucus, on its approach to these negotiations. How would it respond? Some folks have been saying the UW system has sold out its underrepresented students or made a deal that prioritizes funding over diversity, equity, and inclusion.
You know, I think, Liam, and I'll also ask the chancellor to provide some input on this as well. Our core values around diversity and inclusion are not changed. And as the chancellor mentioned, we are neither eliminating DEI, nor are we continuing business as usual entirely. We are trying to continue to evolve, to change, to help students succeed. And I appreciate that there will be people who agree and disagree with all of this. And again, it's when you go through a difficult process, a challenging discussion and challenging negotiation to reach an agreement. Neither side at the end of the day is typically said this is the greatest thing since sliced bread. That's just reality. But I think on balance, we have found a point that this is in the best interests of our universities. And I am pleased to be able to recommend it to the Board of Regents. Chancellor, would you like to add anything more?
Thanks, and nice to see you, Liam. I don't think I've got that much more to add. I mean, this absolutely is not getting rid of DEI, but it is a commitment to reimagine parts of it. I think that we should actually pretty constantly be looking at what's working well and what isn't working well and how we can best serve our students, including our underrepresented students, and help them achieve success. I think we can continue to do that under this agreement, and that will absolutely remain a tremendously important priority for me, as I know it will for chancellors across the system.
Thank you both.
Thank you.
Pat. Pat, can you go ahead?
Oh, yes. Hi, Kat Carroll from the Badger Herald. Thank you both for taking the time today. I know you're talking a lot about supporting students through this transition, but how specifically will you support students from marginalized communities during this transition of reimagining DEI efforts on UW campuses?
Yeah, and I think I go back to the basic premise that our core values around diversity and inclusion have not changed. We know we need to support students from underrepresented groups, students from different faiths, students of different political ideologies, students of different socioeconomic means, veterans and disabled students and so forth. But our commitment to those students, our commitment to achieving student success is not going to change. That is absolutely critical.
The only thing I would add to that, I'd add two quick points. One is that to the extent we're reimagining some elements of our DEI function, we're actually strengthening the focus on students and student success. The second thing I'd add is that in the overall position cap, one of the important exemptions is actually for positions that are student facing, so that we've really prioritized that in how this is framed.
We have time, I think, for one more question, and there's one person who hasn't had an opportunity who's got a raised hand. That's Kayla. Go ahead, Kayla.
I'm so sorry, I was talking, but I was on mute. anyway, hi, I'm Kayla with the Cap Times. So as others have said, students, faculty, and lawmakers of color are concerned about this deal. Were any people of color at the negotiating table this week?
Now, we certainly had consulted with a wide variety of people, including our regents, our chancellors, some members of shared governance, and others. So we had input from a diverse group of people throughout this entire process.
Got it. Thank you.
Thanks, everybody. We appreciate your presence this morning, and thanks most of all to Chancellor Mnookin and President Rothman. Thanks again.
Thanks, everybody.
Thanks, everybody.